From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The coronavirus pandemic has brought into stark relief the importance of childcare and those workers who provide care for our children. Already, the childcare industry was struggling as costs for parents had skyrocketed and wages for providers remained far too low. Now, as Congress readies to vote on the Child Care is Essential Act, introduced by Representative Rosa DeLauro, activists around the nation are holding a week of actions to highlight the urgent need for fully funded child care. Although the Child Care is Essential Act includes a $100 billion investment in the industry, Senate Republicans have included child care funding in this week's COVID relief bill, to the tune of only $15 billion. A recent survey showed overwhelming public support for childcare funding. We turn to Tammy Thomas-Miles, senior organizer at Community Change Action. She works directly with childcare providers. Welcome to the program, Tammy. Hi, thanks so much for joining us. So first, can you begin by telling us how seriously the childcare industry has been impacted by the coronavirus? As I mentioned, this was already an industry that was struggling. Providers weren't being paid enough. Parents had to pay too much. And then the pandemic hit. I imagine that the industry got thrown into disarray.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, this is already a sector that's been hard hit. And for the last 5 months, like, it's really thrown it for a loop. So if you think about the fact that, like, some childcare providers or centers have remained open to care for children of other essential workers, they've literally been putting themselves and their own families at risk. And then many of them are being impacted by the decrease in the ratios and the need for personal protective equipment. There's a lot of things that are being put on childcare centers right now that has really put them to the point that their margins are so thin already. And now they're facing, many of them are like struggling or challenged with the idea of being able to stay in business.
So I imagine that when the quarantines were first being put into place, a lot of childcare providers simply might have lost work, right? Because with parents at home, they might have pulled them out of childcare facilities, also because, of course, social distancing maybe required them to do so. But then also there were probably essential workers like delivery truck drivers or grocery workers who suddenly needed to find childcare because their kids had to be home from school and may not have been able to afford to pay for it or may not have had the infrastructure in the community. So imagine there must have been an attempted and pretty chaotic reorganization of the industry that probably resulted in a lot of folks simply going out of business or parents not being able to get childcare.
Absolutely. You know, and then, you know, because of the quarantines, many childcare centers themselves had to close, right? And if you think about childcare centers also being able to have access for those that actually stayed open for essential workers, they also needed access to personal protective equipment, PPE. And dealt with reduced ratios, so there's less money coming in to centers where there's razor thin margins. So it's just made it a pretty precarious situation, not only for childcare workers and providers, but also for families. And you're right, many parents, you know, we're under a quarantine. A lot of parents didn't feel safe sending their children out, and some places had stay-at-home mandates.
Right. So this was already an industry, as you've used the term, razor thin margins. This is an industry where before the pandemic, it was a tenuous industry to be in. You would think that the issue of childcare would be one that government wouldn't allow to fall through the cracks. But I suppose just as you have public education constantly struggling to get fully funded, what sort of childcare subsidies have been in place and what is the Childcare is Essential Act asking Congress to do?
So, you know, some childcare providers were able to, through the CARES Act, able to access the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Programs, but mm-hmm. not many of them, right? Not all of them. Just like we know, all small businesses weren't able. Many of them didn't even know they qualified for the Paycheck Protection Act right away. And the other thing of that is thinking about many of them had workers who they needed to pay. So trying to keep them on their payroll with reduced ratios and very little money coming in. If you think of some childcare providers, some of them, the majority of their money actually comes from having children in their centers. So if you don't have any children in your centers, then there's really no real income for you to access.
Right, they were
So many.
paid by child, rather like K through 12 schoolings funded.
Right, many of them are paid not by like who you have on the rolls. There are some that are involved in programs where they're paid by who's on the rolls, but most of them are paid by the children that are in the seats. And when COVID-19 hit and they reduced the childcare ratios, you had some centers going from like 25 kids in a room, 20, 25 kids in a room to like six. So
So
that's a, you know, to half. And so what the Child Care is Essential Act does is it's actually a solution to help childcare sector survive. It provides $50 billion to states so that they can provide grants that are directly to providers who are open to cover their increased operating costs and provide hazard pay for workers. It provides that they, for those that had to close, they could also see, receive funding to pay for their rent, mortgage, utilities costs. Because let's be real, like just because the pandemic hit, those things didn't stop. It doesn't mean that these providers don't have to continue to pay rent, mortgage, and utilities. And most importantly, to continue to pay their workers to stay on staff, so that when everything does open back up, they're not out trying to find new staff because people have had to go else, you know, elsewhere to look for employment. The bill also benefits families because caregivers who receive assistance are required to provide relief for co-payments and tuition for families that are enrolled and to maintain slots for children whose parents are keeping them at home. So imagine if, because of the pandemic, and you don't feel comfortable sending your child out, or you're not an essential worker, right? The worst thing that can happen is you get called back to work because the economy opens back up and bam, there's no slot for your child for
Right.
daycare. You know, and I know like I'm a grandmother myself. I know that I have my youngest granddaughter has been on a waiting list at a daycare center for, let's see, she's about 20 months now. She's been on that waiting list for over 6 months already. And still, you know, the pandemic, that was pre-pandemic.
Wow.
So I couldn't imagine like the fear of losing that slot, particularly when oftentimes, you know, it may take a while to find the right provider or one that's in your community, you know, the location too.
Right. I
The other
mean,
thing that the
working mothers knew this. I mean, I recall when I was pregnant having to do the research and contact the childcare provider to obtain the slot for my child, knowing that I had to go back to work, you know, within a few weeks of giving birth. And so parents realize, mothers especially realize that they have to do this work beforehand. And so it's an industry that seems as though really requires stabilization. We're not talking about luxury goods. We're talking about an, you know, a service that is critical not only for families but for the economy to function. Is that what the Child Care is Essential Act looking for? A stabilization from the government of an industry that is so important that it cannot be subject to the kind of fluctuations that it is being subject to.
Yes, absolutely. It actually creates a stabilization fund within the pre-existing federal child care program to provide relief to providers to get us through this crisis. And in the midst of all this uncertainty, we need to do what we can to provide stability for our families and our child care providers, because you're right, this economy does not fully work without child care. Child care is essential.
So the act, in addition to providing the funding that it requires, I understand that there's $50 billion funding that it is calling for, but then there are additional funds that it sets aside for the providers themselves, as well as grants for certain child care centers that would qualify. So it's a pretty comprehensive act.
Yes. And One of the ways that it would work is the feds would pass money to the states based on the formula that already exists for child care development block grants. So for the CCDBG block grants, providers of all types would apply to the state and have to certify that they'll give priority to children of essential workers and vulnerable children. So such as those that have disabilities or homeless or at risk for abuse or what have you, and comply with the CDC and state and local health and safety guidelines. And then the state will award payments on a rolling basis with priority to providers who provide care during non-traditional hours or serve low-income vulnerable children or in areas with low supply of childcare. And when I think about that non-traditional hours, I can remember when I was raising my children, oftentimes I got stuck on second shift, which was 3 to 11 or 4 to 12, or I got stuck on midnights. And that was actually a literal nightmare for being able to find childcare. And now when you think about so many people working in the service industry and they don't have set shift times, having that non-traditional hours or having a childcare center that's open with extended hours and in your community is so vital.
So this seems to be an industry that requires immediate government intervention. So the Senate Republicans, as I mentioned before, have set aside, I understand it's something like $5 billion in direct funding and then an extra $10 billion to fund back to work childcare grants that totals to about $15 billion. And when I mentioned the $5 billion, that was, I believe, to the Child Care Development Block Grant that you mentioned earlier. So that's a total of $15 billion. The Child Care is Essential Act is asking for $100 billion, which is far, far more than $15 billion. It seems as though the Senate Republicans don't really want to fully fund this industry.
So actually, the Child Care is Essential Act is asking for $50 billion, but we at Community Change and many of our national allies believe it does need to be $100 billion.
I see. Okay. So the actual bill is $50 billion, but your campaign is demanding $100 billion.
Yeah, we know that $50 billion isn't enough. This is just what we need to get through this pandemic. We need to think broader about this whole system needs infusion, and it needs to be, you know, it needs to be saved. Because if you think about how many businesses I know in my state, you hear on the news almost every other day about another industry or small businesses that are closing. We're going to see several childcare centers that are not going to reopen if there's nothing done to help save them. And even because the money is still so scarce, there are some businesses that are just not, they're going to cease to exist. And if we think about childcare, when those, if a center closes down, that means how many families in that community have to figure out who watches their children while they go back to work.
Right. And it's so interesting when you hear especially conservatives talking about issues of welfare, issues of, you know, jobless workers who are getting unemployment benefits, not wanting to, in their minds, go back to work. They never enter into the equation what working parents are supposed to do for child care. This also seems to be an issue of racial and gender justice, right? Because the child care providers are overwhelmingly, by and large, women. They're often women of color. And of course, they are, no surprise, working in a deeply underpaid industry.
Absolutely. You have some childcare workers that are struggling to afford childcare themselves.
For their own children.
Because the wages are usually low. I don't think anyone who's working in childcare or who is a childcare provider, and particularly the workers, are getting rich on taking care of our most valuable asset. The most valuable asset we have is our children. Like, they're not getting rich on the hog taking care of our children. They're not paid enough. They're not being valued enough. I would think that if we're going to talk about opening up this economy, one of the first things that we would need to think about is childcare. There are so many women in the workforce and men who now are primary caregivers. Like, how can we open up the economy fully and dismiss the need for childcare. And one thing I wanted to add is, so far, the Child Care is Essential Act actually has 140 co-sponsors in the House and 36 co-sponsors in the Senate. So there's a lot of energy behind it. But the vote is going to take place on Wednesday, the 29th. And so we're hoping the House is scheduled to vote on it Wednesday. We're hoping that they vote to pass it, and then the next steps will happen. I mean, like, it's just, this isn't something like, since I think that COVID, one thing that COVID has done, like, it's really shown the inequities that exist in this country, but it's also helped to shine a light on how essential childcare is.
So tell me about the actions that are taking place this week around the country. Unfortunately, we haven't heard very much. I mean, there aren't big blaring headlines around the Child Care is Essential Act in our newspaper. So it may very well be that Americans are largely unaware that this legislation is even reaching Congress.
Oh, yes. So the actions actually started on the 25th, and we have 15 plus live and virtual events calling their elected officials to support the Child Care is Essential Act. And people are sharing their stories on social media, and they're using the hashtag Save Child Care. There's actually an action taking place on Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's a national action at 7 p.m. There's a new website that was launched recently. It's childcarechangemakers.org.
That's
And the stuff.
childcarechangemakers.org, and we'll provide a link to that from our website as well.
Yes.
I understand that this is an issue that is actually deeply popular. There was a recent survey of Americans, but done by the Center for American Progress, that showed that huge majorities of Americans support fully funding the childcare industry, almost, to the point where they don't even. They're not worried about whether it'll cost too much. They understand how critically important it is for affordable, for parents, working parents, to have affordable childcare. I thought that was really heartening.
And the stories that came along with that, like how people were really struggling to not only access childcare, but like those that wanted to keep their centers open to provide childcare, how some of those providers were struggling. That survey was really it was really enlightening, and it just opened up more space for us to have this conversation about how essential childcare is.
Is it also true that childcare providers, are, I'm imagining, also subject to some of the same issues that other industries are dealing with in terms of, rent, not being able to make rent or mortgage obligations, and even healthcare for their own workers, being able to pay for healthcare for their own workers? You mentioned earlier the lack of funding for PPE, but I imagine that it's a broader issue that affects these workers just as much.
Absolutely. There's some research that says the childcare sector needs $9.6 billion a month just to
Wow.
survive. So if we think about if we're thinking about what has been proposed so far by the Republicans in the Senate, it's a far cry from 9.6 billion a month if they're only looking at 15. And if you think about like they're small businesses, some folks, some centers are located off-site, some you have some at-home providers, but still, people are still required to pay their rent or their mortgages, their utilities. And then the whole thing around healthcare, oh my God, that's such a huge thing because many of the childcare workers are actually like the average wage is oh my God, I can't remember this off the top of my head. I think it's like between $10 and $12 an hour
Right.
is the average wage per childcare worker. And many of them don't have benefits. There are a lot of them are reliant on healthcare through Medicaid.
So these are workers that are already low wage, as we established earlier, providing a service that Americans, especially working Americans, cannot live without. Most of us can't afford to hire nannies or au pairs to watch our children exclusively. Well, finally, give out that website again where you mentioned people can find out more about the local actions happening in their community and also the work that Community Change Action is doing in general.
So the website is childcarechangemakers.org, and there you'll find connections to, there's a map that shows you actions that are happening all across the country. There's also connections to conversations that are happening around childcare, and some of the ones that we have happening that are coming up right away would be on Saturday of this just past Saturday, the 25th, there was an action in California. Yesterday, I'm sorry, not yesterday, but Monday the 27th, they just had an action in Ohio, where they were talking to Representative Mike Turner's office, and who's like just really failed Ohio's parents and providers, and they delivered a failing report card to him. So if you go to that site, you can find many other actions coming up. Like I mentioned, the one at St. Paul's Church in Minnesota on Tuesday at 7 p.m. There's one Friday in Michigan. This one is being held by Mother Injustice. It's actually at 4 p.m. Eastern. And there's a link that'll be available on Wednesday. And it will post on Child Care Changemakers
And I
site.
imagine that you can find out if your own member of Congress, your own congressional representative has sponsored the bill or not.
Yes.
Well, we'll post links to both of those websites. Community Change Action can be found online at communitychange.org, and then the childcare specific website is childcarechangemakers.org. Tammy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tammy Thomas Miles, senior organizer at Community Change Action. She works with childcare providers, and we've been discussing the Childcare is Essential Act, which is expecting to be voted on Wednesday. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.